increasing as the years go by. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Hosea 12. Hosea 12, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 6 this evening. With the great howling wind that we are experiencing today, we'll go right along with our message tonight. Hosea 12, 1 through 6. It says in verse 1, Ephraim feedeth on wind and followeth after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings will he recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel, and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. Therefore turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just pray that as we look at your word this evening, Lord, that you would work in our hearts, Lord, that the truth of your word would be made plain. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit would be able to take these words and bring conviction to our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Today we've experienced a fierce wind. A cold wind. Not necessarily a pleasant experience. We might think somebody that just wants to stand out in that wind and just take it all in might be a little crazy. But here, God uses the illustration of wind to illustrate the absurdity of what Ephraim was doing. Now, in Israel, westerly winds would have brought, going over the Mediterranean Sea would have brought rain, but winds coming from the east, blowing over the desert would not be something that would bring, what should we say, prosperity to their land. But you feel that dry wind blowing against them, something that would bring scorching or blasting to their crops. The wind was not a pleasant thing, such like the wind outside today has not necessarily been something that has been pleasant. And so it says, Ephraim feedeth on wind and followeth after the east wind. We find Ephraim had the wrong food. They were feeding on the wind, this scorching wind, this blasting wind that was coming from the east, so to speak, is what they were feeding on. Now, you read through the book of Hosea, you find what were they feeding on, literally, so to speak, in their spiritual lives? Well, they had embraced a false system of worship. In their day-to-day lives, what were they embracing? Well, they were feeding their flesh. And really, what does God call it? Well, he calls it feeding on wind. To them, the east wind would have been something not good. Something that's going to bring desolation to their land. And that's what God said it produced. He daily increaseth lies and desolation. You feed on the wind, and it will bring desolation to your life. And Ephraim was feeding on the wind. They had the wrong food. In 2 Kings 17, let me just read a couple of these verses 21 through 23. It says, "For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king, and Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord, and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did, they departed not from them, until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he said by all his servants the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day." So here in 2 Kings 17 basically gives the final close of the 10 tribes of Israel and what took place and why was it. Well, they fed on the wrong thing. They followed. They had the wrong leader. It said they followed after the east wind. You know, you are what you feed on. That is what you become. You know, in Hosea chapter 13, verse 6 says, "According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me." You know, what are you feeding on this evening? What are you getting your sustenance from? Israel was getting it from the wrong thing, and eventually it caused them to turn from God, and their land became desolate, as if they had gotten an east wind that would continually blow upon their land and bring desolation. That is what they were feeding on. They were feeding on their own flesh. They were filled with their own ways. You know, what are you feeding on this evening? You know, people think sometimes they can go off to maybe a certain institution and they can bring in what that institution is feeding them and they're going to be okay. Well, you go to the wrong place to get your training and you constantly feed on that. And if you're not careful, guess what? You're going to turn out the wrong way because you're feeding on the wrong things. And Ephraim fed on the wrong things, and it brought their desolation. Not only did they eat the wrong food, we find they had the wrong leader. It says they followed after the east wind. Followed after the east wind. You think, what a thing to follow. You know, you would think, well, if you follow the east wind and you head in that direction, well, it's going to take you west. But what's interesting, what happened to the Israelites? Well, they ended up in the east. They were taken off into captivity. And the east wind that they followed brought desolation in their lives. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I what? I shall not want." There's nothing that will lack when the Lord is our shepherd. The wind is fleeting. It vanishes quickly. When it's through, there's not much left. The wind can be a very powerful force. And Israel had bought into the wrong system of belief. And it was like the wind, and it brought desolation to their land. In Psalm 63, David was in the wilderness in a desolate place, so to speak. But he turned to the right one. It says in Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. It says, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee." It says, "My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." You know, what are we going after today? Do we have that thirst for God that satisfies our thirst? Or are we going after the world in which all that it will produce is wind that will bring more dryness, that will bring greater dryness to ourselves? David said, "To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." Notice who David's leader was. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. David had the right leader in his life. He was not tossed to and fro, so to speak, by every wind of doctrine. Israel, you know, a new leader would arise. Maybe somebody would conquer them. Let's do this, God. The Jewish, you read through some of the books, First Chronicles, Second Chronicles, and I can't remember right offhand if it was Judah or Israel. I believe it was Judah. You know, when one nation conquered them, and they're like, well, that nation conquered us. Let's get their God. You know, do we just look at life by a merely human form of thinking and make such unwise decisions? Who are we following? Are we following the rock? Are we following God? Or are we following our own fleeting pleasures? So they had the wrong food. They had the wrong leader. Followeth after the east wind. Notice the result. They reaped the wrong results. It says, he daily increaseth lies and desolation. He daily increaseth lies and desolation. Over and over throughout the book, we find what was one of the things? Lies. Verse 12 of the previous chapter. Ephraim compasseth me about with lies. Their land was known for deceit. But you know what? You follow the ways of Satan, and what are you going to get? Well, lies. What did Christ say? John 8:44. Ye are of your father, the devil. You know, and what were they doing? What were the Jews following? They were following a lie. You follow the wrong leader, and it's going to bring results maybe that you weren't looking for. Lies and desolation. Everything they were doing was steeped in deceit, was steeped in lies. It's interesting here in verse number 2 what he uses to refer to Israel. He uses Jacob. The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah and will punish Jacob. Well, what did the name Jacob mean? Well, supplanter or deceiver. This is what they were wrapped up in. The truth is what they needed to survive. But instead, they accepted a lie. You know, in our day and age in which we live, what do people want? Well, they want what's going to make them feel good. But unfortunately, that is going to lead to their desolation. You know, what we need today is not people that are going to speak what makes people feel good or what will gain them a great following, but we need people that are going to stand up and speak the truth, because that is what brings preservation to a society, is when people stand up and give the truth and people follow after it. But when you follow a lie, it brings desolation, just like a great sweeping wind blowing over. You know, is that what you want for your family? To be taken over by lies, which results in desolation? Increaseth lies and desolation. You know, you can't increase one without increasing the other. You can't increase lies and expect desolation not to follow. And notice they had the wrong response to this problem. It says, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. Later on, we'll find the response that God wanted. But what was their response? Well, let's go to Assyria. Well, that doesn't seem to be working. Let's go now to Egypt. They had the wrong response. In 2 Kings, it talks about their servitude to Assyria and then breaking that covenant and going to Egypt. It says in verse 4, "And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore, the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison." So we find them breaking their covenant breaking this thing that they had going with Assyria, and now instead turning to Egypt. And God used Assyria to bring judgment upon them. So they turn to Assyria. That doesn't work. They bring oil into Egypt, a valuable commodity in that day, oil. Bringing it as a down into Egypt. Maybe Egypt could help them out. But again, they're turning, they're having the wrong response to the problem. Instead of realizing that they had transgressed the covenant that they had with God, they went and made a new covenant with the land of Assyria. In Hosea 6, verse 6 and 7, it says, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me." So there was a covenant that they had broken. But instead of going and fixing that covenant that they had broken with God, instead of going back and getting right with God, instead they turned to Assyria. And then they went to Egypt. And they had the wrong response to their problem in their life. You know, many times we like to cover up problems that we are experiencing. You know, we like to make a quick fix instead of just taking care of the problem the way it's supposed to be. You know, the other day our piano broke, the pedal broke, and taking apart the piano some, and I find there's these little plastic things that kind of are housing for the pedals inside, so they have something to pivot on, I guess, so to speak. And that had broken, and so the pedal wasn't, well, actually, I think the rod had come off, and then I tried pressing the pedal, and then the plastic thing snapped. And so I'm like, well, I'll get some Gorilla Glue out, and put the Gorilla Glue on there, and let it harden, and then, you know, in the morning, you know, put the thing back together, and hey, it worked. Well, I should have let the Gorilla Glue harden a little longer. You know, I put the piano back together. You know, I checked the pedal before, and hey, it worked. Well, I sat down at the piano, pressed it down with my foot, and snap. You know, it was broken. Well, kind of chose maybe the quick fix instead of doing it the right way, getting a new part, installing it, and now, you know, what am I doing? Well, I ended up, you know, scraping the Gorilla Glue off and taking the screws out, so now I can hopefully find a part somewhere to fix the piano. But what was Israel doing? You know, looking for a quick fix to their problem. What does it say in Proverbs? "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy." You know, do you have the right response to sin or the wrong response? Do you realize who you have offended? And the one that you need to make that right with? Or are you merely trying to go somewhere else for help? You know, many times people, instead of dealing with the issue at hand, they want to try to go somewhere else for help. You know, and when that doesn't work, well, they go somewhere else for help. You know, have you ever heard of church hoppers before? You know, sometimes that's what they do. Well, they have a problem one place, so they go to another place. Doesn't work out there, so let's go to another place. You know, in a way, that's what Israel was doing. They never got the problem fixed that they had, so they went to Assyria, and that's not working out. Let's go to Egypt. Let's see if they can help. They had the wrong response to their problem. Then it says in verse number 2, The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah. Judah had some problems as well. Although, overall, they were much more faithful to the Lord than Israel. But then he says, and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings, will he recompense him. So these actions were going to be brought back upon him. Let's go to verses 3 through 6 now. He says, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. So now it's like we go back to the very beginning of their history. It says, yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there, or Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. Therefore, turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. Where did the strength of Israel reside? Where was the author of their strength? When were they strong? Well, God brings them back to their beginning. You know, Jacob had a rough beginning, might we say. He was known for being a supplanter. He was known for being a deceiver. When did this great change take place in Jacob's life? Well, it was when he what? When he turned and he, what should we say, grabbed hold, when he went, when he realized that the only thing he could do was to get a blessing from God. He needed God's hand of blessing upon his life. When he realized that that he could not do it, he had to have God's blessing. Yet it's interesting here in this verse, we find that it took all his strength, so to speak, to make that happen. Now obviously all the strength he had was from God. But it took all of his strength, all of his being. He was not going to let go until he had been blessed. And Israel, if they were going to experience a turning from their ways of deceitfulness, if they were going to turn from their lies, they must once again be reconnected, so to speak, with their God. And how was that going to take place? How were they once again going to have a nation that was effective? Once again had a nation that was going to be able to accomplish something. The end of the verse says, by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. Now notice what it says here, the following part. He wept and made supplication unto him. All right, that's one of the keys here. He wept and made supplication unto him. All right, Jacob here had the right response. He pled. He needed something. It says he wept and made supplication. What did Israel need to do? Well, they needed to turn back to their God. They needed to cry out. They needed God's blessing to return to their land. And God brings them right back to their beginnings, brings them right back to the place, Bethel, which they had what? Which they had desecrated through their false worship. And God brings them back to this place of their beginning that they had desecrated with the false worship of God, where once Jacob was blessed by God and says, you know what, you need to come to your God. You need to turn back to the God that your father, one of your fathers, forefathers, turned to. And there was a change that took place in his life. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake, there God spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord God of hosts, the one who is all powerful, the one who is over all the hosts of creation, the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. The Lord is the one that we ought to be remembered by. the key to Israel having any lasting effect was for them to be connected to their God in a vital relationship. Jacob realized that he needed this blessing, and he sought it with all his might, so to speak. We find here Jacob had the right response. We find he turned to God. In verse number 6, we find he had the right leader. We find in verse number 6, God commands the children of Israel to turn to their God. Therefore, turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment and wait on thy God continually. Jacob came to the place where he waited on God. Instead of trying to do it himself, instead of, you know, coming up with his own plan, so to speak, his mother, you know, coming up with a plan of how they were going to get the birthright, instead of coming up with his own ways, his own devisings, now finally, he's at the place where he is needing a blessing. And the children of Israel needed to come to the place where they would wait on their God continually. It's interesting, he says here, keep mercy and judgment. Many times the word mercy, when found in the Word of God, it is mercy from God directed at us. But here he says for them to keep or to guard, to hedge about mercy. But not only mercy, also judgment. The idea of a verdict. Okay, we think of judgment, discernment, making the right choice. All right, it says in a couple verses here in, well, let's go to Micah first, then we'll a couple verses on mercy in Hosea. Micah chapter 6. In verses 7 and 8, notice what it says. It says, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. So one of the keys here, he says, and to love mercy. Mercy. To love mercy. Okay, let's go to Hosea now. Hosea 4 and verse 1. It says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Notice Hosea 6 and verse 6. He says, for I desired what? I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. So he says, I desired mercy and not sacrifice. You know, sometimes we want to do something, so to speak, in response to our sin. You know, we just want to, maybe we can just do such and such and it will cover things up. Here they wanted, maybe let's just bring a sacrifice. But what did God want? Well, God wanted a change of their hearts. He wanted a change of attitude within them. He says, I desire mercy. Mercy, this kindness. It could also, you think of somebody who does not have mercy. That would be somebody that's very selfish, concerned with themselves alone. But somebody that is merciful is somebody who is willing to give of themselves. You know, we think of God being mercy to us, His compassions failing not. Well, God expects us to be merciful. God desires for us to give of ourselves, not always expecting everything to be as we think it ought to be. But these people were not. They were wrapped up in themselves. Their reverence for God was very low. Mercy had departed from the land. It was every man maybe for himself. God desires for us to have mercy. He desires for us to have a change of our inward attitude. Not just a change, not just some external action that we bring. Yes, God desires the right external actions. He gave much of His word describing what those should be. But to merely have the external action without the inward attitude. You know, for them to bring this sacrifice, but not have the reverence for God that sacrifice required, God didn't want it. You know, are we going to respond in reverence to God, recognizing how little we are? You know, when we do not show mercy to others, really, what kind of an attitude is that? Well, it's an attitude like we're some great person. You know, why should we show that person mercy? And it's really a lack of a reverence for God in our lives when we do not show mercy to others. You know, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. You know, when we do not have mercy, what is it in our lives? Well, it shows that we do not have a right understanding of who God is and who we are. Shows a lack of humility in our lives towards God. We think we're somebody great, but if we would get a picture of the greatness of God, it would cause us to be merciful in our actions towards others. So there was a lack of mercy in the land. God says, keep mercy, guard it, hedge it about. And judgment. Judgment. Where was the key? What's the key to having judgment in the land? Well, obviously, it's wrapped up in the Word of God. If they are going to make a clear verdict of what is right and what is wrong, they must be in the Word of God. They must stop despising God's prophets who are preaching His Word. You think of Hezekiah, of when he went throughout the land. He was going to have the Passover. And he went into Israel and said, hey, come to the Passover. He told them to tell the people of Israel to come to the Passover. And what did they do to the people that he sent? Well, the first response was to mock him. I can't remember exactly, but I believe it was to mock or to scorn the people that he had sent. Then there were people that did come to the Passover and worship God correctly. But what had happened in Israel, they had turned from the Word of God. They despised the prophets. And now a clear verdict of what was right and what was wrong was gone from the land. My people are destroyed for what? For lack of knowledge. There's no clear judgment any longer. You know, we think of our country today and what's happening in the court systems and the lack of real judgment that is taking place in certain places. Why is it? Well, it's because our land has lost the fear of God. Our land has lost a knowledge of this book. And because of it, proper judgment is not able to take place. So there was mercy, which is a result of a real reverence for God and awe of God in our lives, and judgment, a clear verdict of what is right and what is wrong, which is a result of a clear understanding of the Word of God. But notice the next thing. It says, and wait on thy God continually. Wait on thy God continually. Well, this is a matter of faith. To wait on the Lord. To constantly wait on God. To wait for His timing. To come before Him, seeking His will. Not requiring our will to be accomplished in our timing, but to come before God waiting for His will to be accomplished. We looked at Psalm 63 earlier. I'd like to turn back there. Notice what David says. He is thirsting for God. He is longing for Him. It says, verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. What was Israel doing? They were feeding on the wind. But David was going to the right source of food, and because of that, he was going to be satisfied. They were going to reap desolation. The wind brings a scorching. The wind brings a blasting. But David was going to be satisfied with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. We see a continuance here. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. David is waiting on God. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. And it says, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Do we have that same passion that David had? That same longing that David had for his God, to see God's power manifested? Or are we going to the wrong source tonight? That's only going to result in continual thirst, in continual dryness, and ultimately in destruction in our lives. Are we like Israel, trying to cover that up and, boy, trying to satisfy it with the wrong thing instead of attacking the real problem in our life, trying to go somewhere else, hoping that's going to resolve the issue that we're facing, but realizing that the real problem is in our relationship with God? And we need to get back to the place where that relationship began. We need to get back to the place where we got off course. And we need to correct. We need to allow God to work in our lives. We need to renew our faith, our dependence upon Him, so that mercy, that judgment, that clear decisiveness for God can return to our lives. I wonder tonight, where is the wind blowing you? Are you being blown by the wind of the world? Those, you know, the Word of God really shows it as immaturity, being blown by every wind of doctrine. Or are we firmly planted upon the Word of God, which is the key to spiritual growth, as we heard last week, as well as what? That crying out for God to do a work in our lives. Are we willing, like Jacob, to put our strength to wrestle? You know, you think of that song, wrestle and fight and pray. Are we willing to do that? To see the Lord have the victory in our lives? To see His blessing upon our life. You know, it's either that or it's to get blasted by the wind and result in desolation. You know, when you walk out this building tonight and you feel that wind blowing upon you, you know, it can be an illustration of what happens when we turn to the world for satisfaction instead of turning to God, which, like in David's life, will result in true rejoicing. But the king shall rejoice in God, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray tonight that you would help us to be honest. Israel was not willing to be honest with themselves. Lord, honesty is not an easy thing, because honesty would requires humility. Lord, I pray tonight that we would learn Lord, that the place of true joy is in your presence. Lord, I pray tonight that if there, Lord, each one of us have issues that we need to deal with, Lord, that we would not just cover things up in our lives, that we would not just try to conquer the problem through our own methods and our own means, but Lord, that we would truly turn to you tonight. Lord, so that we might have the strength and the stability to withstand the wind that will blow in our faces. Lord, so that we can be protected from that wind, so that our lives will not become desolate. Lord, so that in our foolishness we would not desire to follow after that wind. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, is the Lord speaking to your heart? You know, do you have that same passion of the psalmist that the psalmist had? Are you truly seeking, as Jacob wrestled with God, for God to have his hand of blessing upon your life? And you're not willing, you have that same drive, so to speak, that you're not going to stop, that you're going to continue to seek and not just give up. You're going to wait on your God continually. I wonder tonight, has God spoken to your heart? Maybe has the wind become strong and so you've just kind of given up, so to speak, and followed it. And maybe tonight you need to return to the place where God's hand of blessing can once again rest upon you. You know, but in order to do that, it begins by being honest, by being humble, by really being willing to deal with what God is bringing before you. Is there anyone tonight who say, you know, the Lord is speaking to my heart about an issue in my life that I know I need to deal with instead of just covering it up tonight? Is there anyone like that tonight? Lord is speaking to your heart. All right, is there anyone else this evening? All right, I wonder tonight, you know, where's your family headed? Is it headed for desolation? And is the reason it's headed for desolation because of the decisions that you're making? Or are you willing to allow the truth, to allow judgment, to allow mercy, to allow this constant dependence upon God to rule your family? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts and help us to be reminded. Lord, to have the kind of passion that we need to have for, Lord, that relationship that you desire to have with us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.